Hey everyone, it's Marvin. This episode of Books and Boba is brought to you by Home Interrupted, a new podcast from our partners at Feet in Two Worlds. Climate change affects everyone, but it doesn't affect everyone equally. Immigrants often bear a unique burden due to climate change, but they're also leading the way with impactful solutions. Feet in Two Worlds, the news outlet and journalism training organization for immigrant voices, presents Home Interrupted. From flooded basement apartments in New York City to indigenous Maya farming practices in Nebraska, Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted brings you deeply reported original stories from across the United States. Episodes drop each week starting April 2nd. Find Feet in Two Worlds Home Interrupted wherever you listen to podcasts.
You're listening to
Whoa!
Potluck.
Welcome to another episode of Books and Boba, a book club and podcast featuring books by Asian and Asian American authors. My name is Marvin Yue, and this is a bonus episode of the Books and Boba podcast. Like I mentioned in last week's episode, I was down at San Diego Comic-Con last weekend and was able to get a really great interview with authors C.B. Lee, Arv Kuang, and Sarah Kuhn while we were there. This segment originally played on last week's episode of The Collabcast, which is the official podcast of collaboration that I also host and produce. But since it is an interview with all Asian American authors, Rerun and I thought it would be a great idea to cross-post the interview for Books and Boba as well. And since I kind of produce both, I made it happen. But before we get to the interview, a quick reminder that the Books and Boba July book club pick is A Tale for the Time Being by Ruth Ozeki. We'll be discussing that book in our next episode that will probably come out later this week or this weekend. Rerun and I are getting together on Friday to discuss the book. So if you've already finished the book and you have thoughts that you'd like to bring up for us on the podcast, feel free to go to the Books and Boba Goodreads group to let us know what you think, and we'll try to get your thoughts onto the podcast as well. So with that said, here's my interview that I took at Comic-Con with C.B. Lee, the author of the Sidekick series, Sarah Kuhn, the author of the Heroin Complex series, and Arv Kuang, the author of The Poppy War. So yeah, hope you enjoy our interview, and here we go. And we are here at Comic-Con. I am surrounded by a panel of super talented authors. We have Sarah Kuhn, C.B. Lee, and Arv Kuang. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you.
How are your cons going so far? Rebecca, I know this is your first one. How does it feel to be at Comic-Con?
It's a lot, but it's been really exciting. I think Comic-Con for me so far has been a lot about meeting people I really admire and like meeting a lot of my heroes, because I went to like a writer's party last night and there were so many people who I've like grown up reading their books or read their books recently, and it was so cool to meet them in person. And just like also like female writers I admire. So like I was on a panel with Tomi Adeyemi, and she's so cool and nice and like grounded and down to earth and so smart. And I was like, wow, like I wouldn't be like you. And obviously like meeting Sarah was a big deal for me because she means so much to so many Asian authors. Especially because of that paragraph about the hair streak that we were talking about last night. So yeah, it's been awesome.
Yeah. Sarah,
yes.
Of course, friend of the podcast.
Yes, thank you.
How many Comic-Cons have you been to now?
Oh my gosh, I don't know. I've lost count. I mean, I used to come, you know, because I live in Los Angeles, it's pretty easy to drive down. So I used to come just as a fan. Like, I would be, like, super stoked to go to, like, Gail Simone's Spotlight panel. Or, like, you used to be able to just walk into, like, I don't know, panels about Buffy or the X-Files or whatever, and now that just seems like I don't even know how that happened. Like, it seems so impossible now. So I've been coming for a while, and definitely now it feels more overwhelming. And I think coming as an author is more overwhelming because, you know, like, it is work, like we were talking about before. There's so much you have to do. And also, like you were saying, you're meeting so many people that you, like, super admire, or you're like, oh, I just read your book and I loved it. And I don't know how other authors feel, but I feel like because I spend so much time in my head, I am a little awkward in person. So sometimes I'm like, oh no, like I'm looking at that person, I really admire them, and like I'm trying to say the right thing. And so yeah, it's, I think whether it's your first or you've been coming a long time, it's always kind of overwhelming.
Who's the person that got you the most like tongue-tied?
Okay, so a couple of years ago, I think it was my debut year, it was when Heroin Complex came out, so like 2016, I am a huge fangirl for Nalini Singh, who writes a series of paranormal romances called Psy Changeling. And she's a woman of color, and the books often feature characters of color. And she is just, like, such an amazing writer. And so I think I had tweeted something, like, someone had included us in the same tweet as, like, women of color, like, writers who were going. And I think I said something like, oh, I'm such a big fan, or, like, you know, I tweeted something. And then I saw her across the room at the Penguin Party, and she kind of looked at me like, oh, you look kind of familiar, like maybe I recognize you from something. And I just like ran away because I just couldn't, I couldn't think of like the perfect thing to say, and I was so nervous, and I just love her so much. So hopefully someday I'll get the nerve up to actually speak to her.
Just keep going to those Penguin parties.
Yeah, I'll just keep going until I can talk to her.
And CB, Carrie, how many Comic-Cons have you been to?
This will be my third and or fourth. Okay, so I've gone, I've always, like, Comic-Con itself has always been a dream for me as a fan, just to go. So I've gone once, like, very, very early 20s, and then I went, I had the opportunity to go again, I think, in 2014 as a fan, and I was just really excited just to be at Comic-Con as a fan and get to, like, see the wonder that is, like, Hall H, and, like play the line game and just get to, and then that was kind of when I was, like, an aspiring author working on my book for the first time, and then last year was the first time that I came back as a guest, as an author, and it was just so overwhelming just to see, like, my name on the placard, and be like, oh yeah, this is CB Lee, she's signing at this time, she's on this panel, and I was so overwhelmed, and I was on a panel with, this was at WonderCon, but it's put on by Comic-Con, I was on a panel with Mercedes Lackey, and I remember I brought, like, a backpack full of books and also on the panel was Connie Willis, and so I brought a backpack full of books. Like, it was literally everybody else on the panel. And before the panel started, like, usually the panelists, like, come and sit and, like, hang out and chat for a little bit before the panel starts. So I brought my backpack up to the stage and was like, hi, I love your book so much, you're amazing. Like, and I, like, just kind of, like, flailed and had, like, that awkward fan moment where I asked to, like, sign their, if they could sign my books, because I thought they were amazing. And then I had the awkward moment where I didn't introduce myself. Like, I was like, wait, now I have to, like, sit down at my seat. I'm also on this panel.
That's right.
And but it was fun. They were really, really nice and wonderful, and it was really exciting. But I think what's amazing about Comic-Con is the magic of it. It's just, it's a convention that brings together so many fans, so many people who are passionate about what they love. And whether you're, like, a creator or someone who just loves the work, touching on what Sarah said about, like, how different it is to be, like, it's very hard to be, like, there's so many things I want to do, but I can't because I may, like, oh, I'm on this panel, so I can't attend this other panel at the same time. And so, like, okay, so now I'm here for work, but it's a dual, I don't know, it's a double.
And you're busy this con too. You have like a gajillion panels that you're on, apparently.
I'm on a panel like every day, and it's I love it, but at the same time, I'm very excited to be able to chat with so many amazing people, but there's also so many things I want to, like, go see. And, like, you have that, like, fear of missing out over so many things. But, you know, it's Comic-Con. There's always something happening. And, you know, it's that, like, impossibility where you're like, well, I'm on one side of the con. A cool thing is happening, like, all the way on the other side. And yeah, you just try to, like, do the best you can and, like, see the, you know, whatever you are, like, that experience is just make the best of it and you can have a great time.
Yeah. Well, I know you all haven't had much time to walk the floor so far, but what are you most excited to see?
I had a little bit of time to walk around the booksellers' booths just to, like, steal books from them. I'm really excited about... I was going to go buy a copy of Kill the Farm Boy by Delilah Dawson and Kevin Hearn, and they just gave me one and signed it, so I'm really, really excited to read that. I'll probably go back to the Del Rey booth and ask for more free books, because a lot of my favorite authors are at Del Rey. I might go raid the Harper Voyager booth, too.
Is that, like a, is that like a perk as authors you get?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Like, sometimes I just, like, email my editor and I'm like, this book sounds really good. And he's like, a package is on the way. I know what you're asking for.
Awesome.
Just drop that little hint, right?
How about you?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I'm a fan of... so many things, but yeah, I also like to go and get free books and stuff, and you know, Nalini Singh isn't here this year, but she and I are both under Penguin Random House, so now whenever she has a book come out, I always sort of like do the same thing. I like nudge my publicist, oh hey, I saw there's a new book out. So yeah, that's really awesome, and there are a lot of opportunities. There are a lot of opportunities, I guess, here to get like awesome books, like just as they've come out, or like maybe right before they come out, and get them signed by authors. And so, yeah, that's I agree that that's really one of the coolest parts that I still fangirl over.
You get your badge, they give you that giant bag
that
you can fill with stuff because it's convenient. And so before. When I was prepping to go to the Conyers, I was like, oh, I'm going to leave this at the hotel because I don't want to carry this huge thing.
Wants to carry that.
I don't need it. But at the con, I acquired so many books that, like, and I had, like, a small bag, and both bags broke. Eventually, when I was at Penguin, I was like, oh, they were so nice. They gave me a tote bag. And I was like, okay, great. And now I can carry all my books. But I think it's one of the greatest things about Comic-Con is you get to, like, see all the, like, the new arcs and all the authors are here, and you get to chat and, like, flail with them and have those, like, really great, like, I love your work. Wait, no, I love your work. And it's one of the best parts of the con. I feel like it's not really a well-known aspect that there's a huge literary presence at Comic-Con. You know, most people think, like, Comic-Con is all comics, but there's, you know, like, a lot of publishers are here, and it's a big promotion, especially for, like, books that have that, like, fantasy sci-fi element, and even just, like, contemporary romance, everything that, like, you know, they want to be like, hey, if you're here, you're a fan, and you can be a fan of books.
Yeah.
That's a huge part of being here, so that's really exciting, and I love that aspect of Comic-Con.
That's awesome. So all of you are also on a bunch of panels throughout the weekend. You know, as writers of color, you know, a lot of topics that you're called on to speak on usually involve diversity, representation, and all three of you have books published that are centered on, like, Asian American or Asian characters that are still very much not... there's not enough of that in the world. How does it feel to be, like, representing that voice?
I mean, yes. I think that it's... the representation is increasing among authors. I mean, the fact that we can have this roundtable at Comic-Con is, like, really awesome. Because I think, you know, a lot of times when you come out with something and you're author of color and you're also writing protagonists of color, there is a point where sometimes you feel like you're... always maybe the only one on certain panels, or, you know, if there's, like, more than one author of color, it's, like, automatically a diversity panel. Or, you know, like, there's sort of weird things like that that I do feel like are shifting and changing slowly. And I'm super excited to see everything that's sort of been coming out, you know, since I was here with the first book 2 years ago. I'm super excited about everything that's coming out now. I'm so excited about Rebecca's book and, like, how much amazing buzz it's getting, and how, you know, like, there's some of those books that you just start seeing everywhere and you feel like it's sort of penetrated outside of your circle, right? Because, like, in my circle, like, my very curated Twitter feed, I'm used to seeing every Asian book by every Asian person, and I'm like, yeah, because all my friends have really good taste. So a lot of my friends are Asian. Like, of course, like, we're promoting each other's work. So I think it's exciting to then see some of, like, a lot of the books that are coming out now, like, sort of going beyond those circles even, and being able to see them everywhere. And I feel like Rebecca's book is one that I am, like, seeing everywhere. And I think that's just so exciting. And I just want there to be more. I want there to be more in, like, every subgenre, you know? Like, we write very different sort of, like, subgenres of fantasy. And so I think it's cool that, like, there's starting to be representation in all of those subgenres instead of maybe just, like, one every few years.
Yeah. And it's nice to see, like, Asian American stories or Asian stories that don't have to deal with just, like,
right,
overcoming your parental like pressures.
It's not just about the struggle.
Yeah.
I love that, like, especially what you said about genres, is that we need more stories in every possible genre. And I love seeing that the landscape is really changing, as and it's really building upon who has come before, you know. And I, you know, when we first met, that was when our books came out the same year. So Heroine Complex and Not Your Sidekick were out the same year. And we both met because we're like, hey, we both have, like, Asian American superheroines. And we also met, like, Paul Kruger at the time, who had an Asian American superpowered main character. And we're like, hey, we're, like, you know, we're all, it's a genre now. It's official. There's three of us, it's a genre.
It's official subgenre.
But, you know, it's for the longest time, I can remember just growing up and seeing what was available. Like, you had, like, Amy Tan, Laura Siep, and there was a lot of, like, historical fiction, there was, like, memoir, and there was some contemporary, but there wasn't a lot of genre fiction. And I love being able to see that change, because a lot of what genre fiction represents is, like, projecting yourself into, like, new and fantastic worlds, like, whether it's, like, the future or high fantasy or contemporary fantasy or urban fantasy. It's really that, like, power of imagination, where if you can see yourself in the future or in the fantasy, like, being the chosen one or kicking ass with demon cupcakes, you know, like, or, you know, it's, you can have more power in the present, I think, because it's that mirror, you know, it's like, you know, growing up with, like, Star Wars and just with when Kelly Marie Tran was, like, announced as, like, Rose, I'm like, oh my God, there's, like, I get to be in Star Wars.
I think on that note, I think something really cool I've been seeing is that younger, hopeful Asian writers today have so many more role models to look up to. Like, it means the world to me when I get an email from a Chinese girl who's like, I didn't imagine that I could, like, write about my family history and have it be published. And then I read your book and this speaks to me like nothing I've read has before. And that's, like, that's so weird, because that's exactly how I felt about authors like Cindy Pan and Ken Liu and Sarah. And, like, when I was trying to get published, I was looking at, like, this list of Asian authors I could count on two hands, right? And thinking, okay, if they could do it, I can. And I feel like there's so many more of us now. I read a lot of, like, Asian books by Asian authors for review, and just, like, in the next couple months, there's so many, and they're all speculative, and a lot, like, there are YA books, there are adult fantasy books, and I feel like there's just such a richness of literature coming out. And that doesn't mean that everything's equal and everything is solved and perfect, but there's so many more Asian authors, and there's a community, and, like, hopeful writers see that happening and, like, know that the possibilities are opening up for them, and that's really cool.
Yeah.
I mean, first, that is like, I can't, like, second that enough, because I feel like even when my book was announced and you know, it maybe wasn't as many yet, still the people who had come before, like Cindy Pan and Melinda Lowe, and then people who maybe weren't fantasy but were in other kinds of genre fiction, like Naomi Hirahara, they were just so amazing. Like, they would, like, reach out to me and just be like, oh, can we, like, do anything for you? Can we, like, answer any questions? Can we provide support? And I think that's so, so important, because it's true. It's sort of like, if you don't see it, like, you don't really know it's possible. And so I think, like for me, for a long time, even though there were, like, Asian American authors here and there doing, like, different kinds of genre fiction, and I would always, like, go to them like a magnet, it still took me a long time to be like, I could actually write this story that's a superhero story that's not about a white person, and it would maybe like go somewhere, you know. So I do hope that a lot of like readers who are coming into it now are seeing that there's more of these books and realizing like you actually can do this, like you can write this story, it will sell, the audience is definitely there for it. And hopefully they can like internalize that and carry it forward.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting. You hear this narrative over and over again, and I'm interested, like, because you know, we were at a screening of Tell the Boys I Love Before on Netflix, and Jenny Han, the author, was talking about how the publisher really, really wanted her to make the main character not Asian.
Right.
Did you have any pressures to do that for your books?
Well, every single character in the Poppy War is Asian, so it would have been really weird to have a random person.
But that's awesome that you can, like, we're at a point now where you can pitch a story taking place in that world, and it's like, sure, go do it.
Yeah.
Right?
I think one of the most amazing things, so I'm published with Interlude Press, and they are they're a publishing house that started in 2014, so they're new. But basically the focus is that they're publishing books, all the protagonists are from the LGBTQ community. And one of the interesting things about, so when I pitched the Sidekick Squad series, it was originally going to be one novel. And I was like, oh, it's going to be this fun novel with this Asian American girl at the center. And then as I was writing it, I was like, oh, actually the story is bigger. Is it okay if it's a series? And they were like, yeah, we're totally into it. And because it's, the press itself, the mission was just to like publish queer writers and have, you know, get more of these stories accessed. It was, I feel like the intersection of myself also being a woman of color and being a queer woman of color, that when the book was announced, you know, and like Sarah was talking about the community, I had no idea what to expect. I was just so overwhelmed by the love and support from, especially from the Asian American community. When the cover was revealed with just like the blurb, and I was at work the whole weekend when it was announced, so I knew that it had been announced like on Tumblr and like on Twitter and all this stuff, and so I didn't see it until like a few days after, and by the end, so it was announced on like a Friday, and then I finally had time to look at it on a Sunday, and it had like over like 5,000 shares on Tumblr, and I went through the tags, and a lot of people picked up that the main character's name is Jessica Tran, and then it's very clear in the back copy that the love interest is a girl, and so a lot of people were very excited about it, and I, you know, coming from being like, you know, I was very new to publishing, I didn't know what to expect, just seeing how much support there was, and it was the community that really drove the book forward. And if it wasn't for like, you know, like I met Cindy Pond at a conference, and it was an instant, she is so amazing, and she instantly was like, what can I do, what can I, and then she did like a giveaway for my book, and she was so wonderful. And I met Melinda Lowe, and I had an opportunity to be she was a mentor at Lambda Literary, so I did a writer's fellowship there, and so she was my mentor, and just being able to chat with her about like how much her book meant to me, and how, you know, it's really interesting to see how far we've come in just the like past 5 years, 10 years, and I'm so excited for Rebecca's book and just what it means to see these amazing Asian American authors kind of blazing forward with so many wonderful and diverse ideas within the community. Like we saw like American Panda,
we
have From Twinkle with Love, we have,
and Maureen Goo's books, amazing,
Astonishing Color of After,
yes, and all of Picture them. Us in the Light,
there's
so many new and amazing books, and I feel like it's really because like, you know, like one step forward and we all step forward.
It's been really cool to see, just like entering through my book club podcast, Books and Boba, and be introduced to like Asian American book Twitter.
Yeah.
And, you know, talking to authors. And like, I mean, we were turned on to Rebecca's book through when we were talking to Fonda Lee, interviewing her about her book. She was like, if you like this book, you should check out Poppy War, check out Peace Brow Chen.
I think it's great that we can all like raise each other up like that. And to sort of answer your first question, I when I was writing Heroin Complex, I remember that when it was just at the writing stage, like I didn't have an agent, I didn't, you know, I hadn't sold anything. A lot of times people would say to me, white people would say to me, well, this is great, but one, it's very niche, which I was like,
yes,
it's superheroes. So literally the number one movie every week is a superhero movie. What is niche? Oh, what could be different about this one? I wonder. Or it would be like, well, that's going to be a question that comes up. You're going to have to make both of them white or one of them white. They can't both be Asian. Like, that's ridiculous. And it was just, I mean, I guess I had just reached a point where I had struggled for so long to, like, really let myself center Asian characters and center characters who looked like me that I think I was just like, I'm just going to go for it. Like, I don't care anymore. You know, I worked so hard to get to this point. I'm just going to go for it. And once it got to sort of like the stage where it was like on submission and it was selling and I, you know, or before that when I got my agent, no one I ended up working with said that, you know, and I was braced for it. I was braced for it every time. Like, I was braced for it with the cover, like, oh, I'm going to have to fight to make sure they're not whitewashed or that we can even put their faces on the cover, period. And that didn't happen. They hired an Asian American artist, Jason Chan, and he did an amazing job. And so it's interesting because I feel like there were all these points because of what people had said to me while I was writing it where I was like braced for like this fight. And then thankfully it didn't happen. I mean, I think it's kind of like Melinda Lowe wrote that great essay about like self-rejection, like how before you even start or before you're even doing something, you're like, well, I can't do this because of X, because it always has to be a white person, always has to be a straight person, whatever. And I mean, I think what is hopeful now is that we're seeing that that really isn't true.
Yeah. That's super positive to hear that once it actually got down to it, there was no problem.
Yeah. I mean, I think still I got some rejections from editors that used the word niche, which I still side-eye whenever I see it about anything by an author of color. But yeah, I know everybody that I've worked with has been really fantastic. And also, I just wanted to say, I like that the common thread here is that we all think Cindy Pond rocks.
Yeah!
She's amazing. Oh, I wanted to add to an earlier point. There is so much love in the writing, like the Asian American writing community. Like, everyone is so supportive of each other's books. Like, when the Poppy War was coming out, like, so many people, like, read it and boosted it and, like, reached out to me and, like, gave me advice. And I was like, you're all heroes to me. Like, I'm not your colleague. Like, what is this? And they just, like, it's like one big family and we just, like, all adopt each other. And it's really cool because Sarah and I had a conversation last night about professional jealousy and sort of the Highlander complex where you sort of assume that there can only be one Asian in the room, you know, like one Asian woman succeeding. And like for a long time, I like struggled with that because I was used to being the only Asian girl in the room or the only Asian girl who had done something. And if another Asian girl was doing something, and like people who are like really good friends to me now, but when I didn't know them, I'd like see them getting boosted and be like, why isn't that me? Like, I hate this. Like, I love their work. And like, because their work was so good, I was so jealous of it. And it took me like a while to get over that and realize that boosting each other's work and just creates a larger audience for us and creates more opportunities for us.
Yeah.
But I think it's a mindset that a lot of authors that aren't, like a lot of authors of color still struggle with within our own groups. There's that side. But on the whole, I think the community is so supportive and it's amazing.
Yeah.
The mentality of like there can be only one is so destructive because it forces people to like be in competition with one another, to put one another down. And it's hard because there isn't only one spot. And it's a struggle when like you feel because of, you know, the system of publishing is, you know, and maybe in the past and something that's been challenging and maybe changing for the better is that there used to be when, you know, publishers maybe would be like, oh, we already have an Asian book. We're okay. We don't.
Yeah. I mean, I think I was going to say, like, I think part of the reason that we often start out with that mindset is because it's instilled in us by gatekeepers or by people who will say, like, oh, you know, you're going to have to change these characters or whatever. There is this idea that I think gets drummed into us about there can be only one. Like, I have had friends who have had people say to them, oh, we have an Asian book this season, even though it's, like, completely different book.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, I have a friend right now who's trying to sell a really cool, like, Asian martial arts based show, and some of the feedback, oh, we already have that. We have, even if it's like a completely different Asian show, yeah. It's just like, it sort of like gives you that mindset then of you're like, oh, well, can there be only one? Like, am I in competition with everybody?
It's such a, like a, I don't even know if it's an American thing, but such like a gatekeeping thing to have quote, like the idea of quotas and yeah. There can only yeah. be like the idea that I have this pie and you get one piece
right.
uh-huh. amongst
right.
like this entire community when like why not just bake a bigger pie? You
yeah.
make more
yeah.
money.
And yeah. And also I think that then it ends up being so great, like we were talking about how like everybody supports each other and that just means like everybody has a bigger book event. Everybody has like a bigger, you know, retweet count on Twitter when your book's on sale. Like it being able to come together like that just makes everyone better.
Yeah.
I saw this amazing cartoon that was about professional jealousy between artists, but I think it applies to writers, where it's like two pieces of cake and like one's yeah. slightly prettier and the one of the creators of the cake pieces is like, that cake is better than mine. But then from the perspective of the cake eater or the reader, it's like, more cake for me.
More cake is better, always. Yeah.
And I think it's also like one of the things I love about like the Heroine Complex series is that you have multiple Asian American yeah. characters, and it's something that we don't see a lot in media where oftentimes they're like, okay, there's one Asian character, there's one gay person, there's yeah. one person, and you know, you can only be one thing. And I love that, you know, and it's one of the things that, like, you know, when we're talking about representation and making sure that people are like complex and nuanced characters, that because you have multiple characters of color and you have multiple characters from a similar background, that one person doesn't have to be all one thing, and no one book can be one thing. And it's interesting to see, like, there's criticism, I feel like, especially like authors of color get for their books, because some people are like, oh, that isn't my immigrant experience,
yeah,
that
it's
isn't
not
my
exact experience.
Yeah. Yeah, but it is like no community is a monolith, and
I mean, isn't that the point of media literature, to like put yourself in someone else's shoes for a little bit?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's one of those things that like I can understand from the reader side, because certainly whenever I've seen something coming out where it's like an Asian girl doing something, I'm like, oh my god, I must have this, like I'm obsessed with it, like. And then it's sort of like there's so much pressure on that one thing to be everything to you, and no piece of media can do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I think that's why like we all keep saying there just needs to be more of everything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If there's more of everything, then there's something
yeah,
for everybody.
Something for everyone.
Yeah, more cake for everybody.
More cake for everyone.
Well, I want to thank you all for joining me during your busy Comic-Con schedules to chat. So what's next for y'all? Rebecca, what's next for you?
I am going to go to another party tonight and drink more. Nice. Writing wise, I'm working on edits for book 2,
oh.
which has a title now. It
yay.
Is The Dragon Republic.
Oh, yay.
And crying and drafting book 3.
Awesome. Carrie?
I'm working on the next in the Sidekick Squad series. It's called Not Your Backup. It'll be out in 2019. Mm-hmm. And as for Comic-Con, I'm on a panel later today called Into the Fan Zone, and I'm with Marcus Shiro, Britta Lindine, Dan Augustone, and Jen Wild. We're going to be chatting about fandom and YA, and then tomorrow I'll be on a panel called The Fake Geek Girl Fallacy, and Sarah will also be there, and we're just going to dismantle the myth of the so-called fake geek girl.
I am working on more books in the Heroine Complex series. We're doing a novella and then 3 more novels starting next year.
Wow.
And so I'm really excited about that, because it was, you know, sold as a trilogy. And then as I was writing it, I was like, oh, I kind of want to stay here for a while. So luckily, it, you know, did super well. Thank you again, Asian American community. And so they asked for more. So I'm excited about that. I have a YA novel coming out next year that's actually my YA debut. It's a contemporary rom-com, so there's no, like, magic or powers or anything. It's just, like, people being cute. And
is that I Love You
So I Love You So Mochi.
Oh,
yes.
I'm so excited.
My editor, Jeffrey West, came up with that title, and it's just, like, it's so, like, delightful every time I see it. But
it sounds very sugary sweet.
It's very, like, it's, like, a Japanese-American girl who goes on spring break to Japan, and she has a romance with this guy who is like a costume mochi mascot, because you know they have so many like costume mascots in Japan. And then I have some comics I wrote with my friend Amber Benson and the artist Siobhan Keenan, another Clueless comic book, which is Summer Vacation, because we were trying to keep them in high school for as long as possible. So it's Cher and Dion and Ty on Summer Vacation. And we actually incorporated Summer, who is the Asian American character in Clueless the movie, played by Nicole Bilderbeck, who still looks so young, but she also played a teenager in Bring It On several years later. And then finally, announced...
Breaking news.
I'm writing a graphic novel for DC's new DC Inkline, which is YA graphic novels. And I'm writing Batgirl, and it's Cassandra Cain Batgirl, who is the Asian Batgirl.
The best Batgirl.
The best Batgirl.
I'm so excited for that.
Yeah.
I'm so thrilled that
Thank
you're
you.
Writing it. I totally forgot to mention. Because it was just announced, and so I'm so used to, like, you can't announce it.
You can't say anything.
but I'm going to be writing the new Ben 10 graphic novels with Boom and Cartoon Network.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's
so
awesome.
The first will be coming out in March-ish of 2019.
Who's the artist?
The artist is Irene Chen. I want to...
Wow, I used to have such a big crush on Ben 10.
This is the reboot. I'm very excited. It was really fun, but also at the same time, they're like, because I come from a background of like having loved Ben 10 too, and they're like, this is the reboot. So I had all these ideas. So like, oh wait, that's the old canon. Focus on the new canon. I was like, okay. But it's still fun. I'm really excited.
It's awesome. Congratulations on all your future projects. Again, thank you for taking the time to chat with us. I guess one last thing before we go is, where can people find your thoughts on social media?
www.rfkwang.com. Also, I am starting a new review blog by Asian readers talking about books by Asian authors.
Okay.
And awesome. It'll be super casual, but since I do this on Twitter all the time anyways, I'll just have it on a blog. And I'm so excited about the name. It's Journey to the Best.
Oh my
gosh. Love it.
I like it. I get it too. Carrie?
I'm at cb-lee.com and I'm on Twitter at author_cblee.
My website is heroinecomplex.com and I'm on Twitter. It's just my name, Sarah Kuhn. And then I'm kind of trying to start my little Instagram, which, you know, where I post like more of my like outfit pictures and stuff. But it's Sarah Kuhn Books, because someone already took Sarah Kuhn.
Oh no. Who is this?
They're not even using it. It's just like a blank page.
That's what
I had to add books.
For our listeners, Sarah has a very, very, very
going to be a compliment,
she
Marvin.
She takes dressing up at Comic-Con very seriously.
Yes, I do.
All amazing outfits.
Yeah, very, very amazing. Again, thank you so much for joining us, and have a great rest of the con.
Thank you for having us.
Bye. And that was our interview with CB Lee, RF Kwang, and Sarah Kuhn at Comic-Con 2018. I hope you enjoyed our conversation. And that'll also do it for this episode of Books and Boba. If you're enjoying the podcast, please follow us on Twitter. Please subscribe to us and let your friends know about our book club and our podcast. And if you haven't done so already, please introduce yourself to the Books and Boba Goodreads group. We have our forums there, and we'd love to know more about the people that listen and are part of our little community here. If you have thoughts about the books we read, or if you're looking for recommendations, feel free to post on our forums. Sometimes we do pull that feedback and talk about your posts on our podcast. Books and Boba is also a proud member of the Potluck podcast collective, a collective of Asian American hosted podcasts featuring unique voices and stories from the Asian American community. Again, if you liked that interview, it was originally part of the Collabcast, which is a weekly podcast about pop culture from an Asian American perspective that I produce and host as a part of Collaboration, a nonprofit organization that supports Asian Americans in the arts and entertainment. So if you like that, please check out the Collabcast. We have over 170 episodes over the last 3 years with a lot of really, really great interviews. And you can find the Collabcast and the other great programs of the Potluck Collective by going to the website podcastpotluck.com. On that note, have a great week. Thanks again for listening, and we'll see you next time on Books and Boba. Bye.